What are the sources and origins of writings like the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Gospel of Thomas, and how do they compare to the Bible? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is One Word, Many Writings, a study of the origins of religious writings. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can find out more about One Word, Many Writings by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. One Word, Many Writings by Dr. Adam Francisco.
Those Republican voters who say they're uncomfortable with Romney's Mormonism are just as likely to say they're going to vote for him as those Republicans who say they have no misgivings about Romney's religion.
The possibility of straddling or being in the middle or compromising, those possibilities are all being taken off the table. And they're being taken off the table by the radical gay agenda.
I think that's one of the fundamental mistakes that you see in a lot of Christianity today, is Christianity becomes kind of a 12-step, a 20-step, a program of rehabilitation.
Western New York State independent Baptist pastors love Issues, Etc.
I think often Christians are diligent in learning their own scriptures. And they should be. That's a very good thing to do. But when it comes to understanding the scriptures, the holy books, the sacred writings of other religions, we say, why bother? I mean, we don't believe what they believe. But we live in a world, well, Christians have always lived in a world where one idea contends with another. It's not only the task of apologetics, but also ultimately of evangelism to understand what it is others believe, even people who hold completely different worldviews and especially completely different religions. And a lot of what they believe is based upon their books. Now, later on this Friday afternoon, we're going to be talking about the sources and origins of religious writings. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest. He's written an excellent new book that is The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for August, called One Word, Many Writings, A Study of the Origins of Religious Writings. That's hour two of Issues, Etc. Now, in the meantime, it's regular Friday fare. Listener email, Issues, Etc. comment line, and towards the end of this first hour, Issues, Etc. blog of the week. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon. It's August the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We go through our listener email because the vast majority of our listeners are listening on demand. That means they listen a day or two behind, a week behind. Some of them admit to being months behind. That's okay. That's okay. That's what listener email is for, in addition to as quick as response as we can to people who listen live. We don't get a chance to respond to all the email. It's just too voluminous. But on Fridays, we like to take as much time as we can to cover both the email as much as we can and the Issues, Etc. comment line. And then we always like to pick a blog of the week. So what's first with our in the email bag, so to speak?
This comes from Nathan. This has to do with your recent interview with Pastor Bill Swirla on Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. Nathan writes, Pastor Swirla said, there is no progress, growth in the Christian life. I was surprised to learn that the only progress we can speak of is the progressive death of old Adam. He says we are supposed to catch up with the death certificate, which ultimately happens when we die. But I guess not catch up to ourselves in Christ in the life we live in the body. I mean, I might not feel like I see growth in my life, but I know Scripture says that there is an I, right? Or is Jesus alone the new man, working with the Holy Spirit, can and should grow? Nathan concludes, we really do grow in faith, and hence inchoate righteousness, sanctification. We, insofar as we are new men, eagerly cooperate with God's Holy Spirit, and like Adam in the garden, grow not only in faith, but in essential righteousness. Much of this has to do with the new Adam, redrowning old Adam each day, threatening him with the law, subduing him, etc. Original Adam's innocence was that of a child, but the innocence of the risen in heaven will be that of a man. And that's a quote from Luther's works. Likewise, our new man has the innocence of a child capable of falling, but the innocence of the risen in heaven will be that of a man, where our nature will be such that we will not fall. So there is an increase in righteousness now, even as before God. We are only justified by Christ's blood and righteousness. Again, we may not be able to detect this, but scripturally, we know we grow in grace and that we should be eager for persons to see our progress, as Paul says. I suggest what is biblical is Lutheran, writes Nathan. Thanks for the email, Nathan.
Well, first of all, I don't think I heard Pastor Swirla the first time when we were doing the interview say that we as Christians make no progress. He did say that the old Adam is incapable of making any progress in righteousness. That's why he must die. He did not say that the Christian as a whole man, both old and new man, makes no progress. I actually went back and listened to it again, and I didn't hear it the second time I listened to it either. He was quite clear in saying, when he was talking about no hope for progress, referring to particularly the old Adam who must die. He talked about it's just progress toward the cross, is what he says. And our righteousness is by faith alone, another thing affirmed by Pastor Schwerle. In fact, I think it was probably one of the best hours on sanctification that we've done. So I would encourage Nathan to go back and listen to that particular hour. What was the subject again? It was simultaneously saint and sinner. It was a whole hour, I think, on the 23rd of July. So you can go and listen to it. I think the whole second hour on the 23rd of July with Pastor Bill Swirla. And if you can find him saying that, I mean, I'm willing to be correct. If you can find him saying that we make no progress in sanctification whatsoever, which I didn't hear him say it once or twice, then just send us, just make a note of where in the audio, what time, generally speaking, he said that, and I'd be happy to address it there. Now, it would surprise me if Pastor Schwerle would say such a thing. First of all, it would be an overstatement at the very least, and it would be wrong for him to say that at the worst, because Scripture and the Confessions clearly say, I'm thinking here about the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 3, as it's usually measured, where it's talking about love and the fulfilling of the law, they're actually being accused by their opponents when they're writing the Apology of the Augsburg Confession back at the time of the Reformation of teaching that very thing, that the Christian makes no progress in sanctification or good works, and the good works are not necessary. And they say, au contraire, we do teach that a Christian who is justified by faith alone does progress in sanctification. Now, but they thread the needle very, very carefully, okay? They say, and I'm quoting here from the Augsburg Confession, Article 3, and if you're just counting, I think it's 136 is the paragraph. But this is one of those places in the Augsburg Confession where the numbers, they have dual numbers, so please don't get confused. We profess that the work of the law must be begun in us, and that it must be kept continually more and more. They're talking about a progress in the keeping of the law once a Christian has been justified by faith alone. And then they say later, again, we teach not only how the law can be kept, but also how God is pleased if anything is done. This is not because, listen carefully, please, to all of those who might be ready to leap out of their chairs. Why is God pleased if anything is done? They say very quickly, this is not because we satisfy the law, but because we are in Christ, as we shall explain shortly. And they go on at great length to talk about how man is justified by faith alone. You got to turn some pages here. And then under the heading of saying no one can keep the law perfectly, which is the point they're trying to make, you can't trust a righteousness that comes from the law, because the only way that righteousness comes from the law is if you keep it. And the only standard for keeping it is perfect keeping of the law. So they'll say, in the second place, the fulfilling of the law, this fulfilling of the law or obedience toward the law, is indeed righteousness when it is complete. That is, when it's perfect. You can call it righteousness. Your keeping of the law, you're beginning to keep the law as a Christian. You can call that righteousness if you can do it perfectly. Then you can call it righteousness. Otherwise, you got to rely on the righteousness that is by faith alone. It says, it is small and impure in us, so our righteousness is not pleasing for its own sake and is not accepted for its own sake. A few lines down, they say, it can now be seen much more clearly that starting to fulfill the law does not justify, because such fulfillment is only accepted on account of faith. And that's another way for them to say on account of Christ. They'll emphasize with exclamation points, we never satisfy the law. And here's a longer quote. I know that I'm going a little long here, but please bear with me. Therefore, starting to fulfill the law, which actually does occur, they say it does occur, does not please on its own account, but on account of faith in Christ. Otherwise, the law always accuses us. And then they have a long litany of things for who loves God or fears God enough, who loves his neighbor, on and on and on. In paragraph 177, because of faith, beginning to fulfill the law pleases God. Because of faith, there is no charge that we fulfill the law imperfectly, although we do fulfill it imperfectly, even though the sight of our impurity terrifies us. Again and again and again, the confessors, based upon Scripture, affirm the two things, that we do progress in sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit, but it's not on account of the law. First of all, those good works are not the result of the law. The law can tell you what to do, but it gives you no power whatsoever to do it. And these things are counted as righteous. This beginning of the fulfillment of the law in the Christian is counted as righteous, not because the law is being fulfilled, which we cannot do, but only because of faith in Christ. I think that was exactly what Pastor Bill Swirla was saying when we were talking about being simultaneously saint and sinner. Now, if I'm wrong, go back, find the place in the tape where he said that Christians make no progress in sanctification. I think he always qualified it by saying the old Adam is a hopeless, lost cause. He does not progress. Don't try and make him progress. And I like the way he put it. Pastor Swirla has a way of doing that. Talked about the Christian's life being a constant progress toward the cross. And the cross is where the old Adam dies and where the new man comes forth. I think that's a great way of looking at Christian sanctification. It's certainly the scriptural way of looking at it. It's certainly the Lutheran way of looking at it. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Friday afternoon, August the 3rd. A little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then we'll talk about those religious writings of other religions with Dr. Adam Francisco in hour two. We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon. We're going through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. And then a little bit later, we got Blog of the Week. Actually, the Blog of the Week that I chose for this Friday fits beautifully with what we were talking about right before the break, talking about sanctification. It comes from PM Notes. I love this guy's blog, but I wish more Lutherans would increase the volume, don't you, Jeff, of the blog volume a little bit.
Yes,
because it gets pretty thin sometimes.
I'm leaning towards issues at their blog of the month.
Are you?
I'm coming around your way. Well, okay. You wanted to get rid of it. But
it's a compromise.
So it's a compromise between the two of our two positions.
Sure.
So, hey, you got a wedding this weekend, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, tomorrow. Let's see. Today is the rehearsal. I've been asked by a young couple. I think if I remember correctly, they told me that they are like childhood sweethearts, something along those lines, and they're finally getting married, and they're fans of the program. And so this afternoon, a little bit later this afternoon, out for the rehearsal, and then tomorrow we're going to tie the knot. I see this as kind of a dry run for the Feitinger wedding, as I refer to it.
Well, you got pressure on that one. I bet you lose sleep thinking of your homily for the Feitinger, Lord Feitinger's wedding.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be difficult.
I think maybe.
I might cry.
No, I think maybe Sonata Cat needs to make an appearance at Lord Feitinger's wedding. That's what I think. I think you should dress up as Sonata Cat.
It's going to be held at Concordia Kirkwood, so that place should be crawling with. I mean, Sonata Cat should be all over that place. It's just across the isn't it? It's just across the parking lot.
They're both in Kirkwood, the international headquarters for the Lutheran Church.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short walk for the little cat to make it over there. He should probably be able to. I'd like to see him.
You know that young couple you're talking about that you're about to.
Sure.
Wed? They're probably just part of the Lutheran choir. You know.
They
don't count.
That small Lutheran choir huddled up in the balcony that.
I had some more thoughts.
The only audience issues, et cetera, has ever had. A small Lutheran choir huddled up in the balcony of some little church someplace.
You know, I was thinking last week, you know, I went off on my tirade on the maintenance of the mission of maintenance ministry, and how we don't, we only like new people coming in, and that people dying in the faith, they don't count. I think you know how the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod keeps baptized members, confirmed members. I think in weekly weekly attendance averages, mm-hmm. It's how many Christian burials have they done in the last year? I think there should
be a
statistic.
That's success. There is a sign of success, getting them in the grave awaiting the resurrection. There's a sign of a successful pastor. That's his job is done. You know, they always used to say a cowboy's work is never done. A pastor's work is done at some point. When he buries you, his work, with respect to you, his work is done. And he could say, there you go. That project is finished. So, and yeah, absolutely. There should be baptisms and burials because they go together. Shouldn't we report both of those? If we're going to be, you know, reporting statistics, let's report the ones that count. Baptisms and burials, those are the ones that count.
Yeah, but that would cause all the fear-mongering. They've got more burials, and they're not replacing with the baptisms. And, you know, then we start number crunching. But I do think they should count burials, Christian burials.
Yeah. Well, there's a point there in recent LCMS history, you know, where I think we were pretty much getting ready to stop counting baptisms because those didn't count with the previous administration. Baptism was, God, come on. What really count? What would they call them, critical events? Yeah, they called them critical events. Those counted more than baptisms. They kept a counter of those things. Baptisms, schmaptisms. That was the attitude before, I think. All right, what's next?
Gary writes, I was listening to the question from a reader who was affirming knowing the triune God through his word, but asked about her experience of knowing there was a God of some kind even before she became a Christian. Here's my perspective on that. I was baptized and became a child of God at age 21. Previous to that, having been raised in a non-religious home, I believe that there must be a God of some kind because of the order I saw in the natural world. Paul says much the same in Romans. In my moral life, I was raised in a non-believing but fairly moral family, and I was a Boy Scout for many years. I didn't realize it, but my family, the society I grew up in, and the scouting organization had all been influenced by Christianity and the values found in God's Word. The virtues I held dear were already in place. The idea that nature worked too orderly to take place by chance was already in place. So when I heard God's word, believed, and was baptized, it was like the final puzzle piece being put into place. That the reason nature and humanity function as they do is because that is how God designed them. However, I did not know who that God was until he revealed himself to me through his word and gave me faith to believe. Then and only then, this unknown, sensed God became clear and dear. Thanks for the email, Gary.
I think it's a very good way of putting it. Smartest listeners in radio. That's quite true. I mean, he simply echoes what St. Paul says there in the first chapters of Romans, where there's this undeniable knowledge, and he does call it a knowledge. It's not faith. It's not faith. It's not anything close to faith. It's a knowledge that condemns. That's its only function there, that God has left his fingerprints all over his creation. One would expect him to have done so. And he's left it there, and its end result, apart from his special revelation in Jesus Christ through Holy Scripture, its end result is man's condemnation. And its end result in the hands of wicked man is that knowledge is suppressed in wickedness, and they lapse into rank idolatry. So you're quite right. Apart from God's revelation of himself in Jesus Christ through the Word, there is no true knowledge of the true God.
Jeff, I've been listening to the hymns on Lutheran Public Radio, and I have to tell you, it's just an extraordinary resource. But there's something missing, and I just can't put my finger on it. Oh, wait, no advertisement. Never mind.
Jeff, you want to address that? What was addressed to you? You want to answer?
Why that was addressed to me.
He's talking about LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's our 24-hour, 365-day-a-year, what should I say, year-round, around-the-clock, 24-hour sacred music station, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, I think he's referring to the fact that it's, for the most part, it's commercial-free. We do have, in the course of a 24-hour day, a handful of Concordia Publishing House commercials running there, 30-second commercials during the course of a 24-hour broadcast day. But it is one of the strengths of it is there's little to no talk on Lutheran Public Radio.
No announcers, no weather,
no news,
no local traffic, no
traffic,
news.
Weather, no, none
right.
of that.
As it's much as music. We can make it, it is wall-to-wall sacred music following the pattern of the church year. Oh, by the way, it's also available, I should mention, it's now also available on iTunes Radio. So if you've got iTunes open, the little things in the sidebar there, if you set your settings of iTunes to show you radio, it'll show you music and video and all the other things. You get to set those preferences in iTunes. If you set it to show you radio, looks like a little, doesn't it look like a little radio tower or something?
Yeah, it's up in the left-hand corner.
Then click on there. What's the category again, Jeff?
The category. Then you got to click genre of radio station.
Genre. Yeah. Yes, genre, and then
religious.
Religious, and right in there.
And right in there is Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Public Radio.
In alphabetical order.
And you can click on it, and you can listen. You can listen there or directly at the website, LutheranPublicRadio.org, to sacred music for the world 24/7 with no weather and traffic.
That's right. And thanks for the feedback there, Mark. We appreciate that. Lots of positive, not surprisingly, feedback as far as our hymn study with Dr. Arthur Juss on the evening hymn, Abide With Me. This comes from Will in Minnesota. He said, thanks for the segment with Dr. Arthur Juss on the hymn. I think it's Will in Michigan, by the way. Thanks for the segment with Dr. Arthur Juss on the hymn Abide With Me. I fondly remembered my days back at Trinity Lutheran in Edwardsville, Illinois, where Al Schnock ended each school day with the final verse to this hymn. It has become a favorite of mine and one that we often use to close family devotions in the evening. I'm sure Jeff remembers this also.
Okay, Jeff. I mean, you're an old Trinity Edwardsville boy from way back. Do you remember Mr. Schnock?
Yeah, Mr. Schnock was the sainted, now in the church triumphant, principal at Trinity Lutheran Edwardsville for decades, and my eighth grade teacher as well. And it's funny, Craig, I told Craig this story this week. Mr. Schnock would, at the end of every school day, this is how we ended every single school day, at least in the eighth grade, at Trinity Lutheran Edwardsville. He'd get at the piano, play Abide With Me, and we'd all sing Abide With Me. But the last line, I'll never forget this. He would play In Life and just stop. In Death and just stop. And then you go, Oh Lord, abide with me. It was so, those pauses were, it tells you how music can help a text, you know, about how you play it.
You can emphasize what the text is saying.
Yeah,
yes.
And he had those dramatic pauses in life, in death. O Lord, abide with me.
With a bunch of eighth graders.
Yeah, a bunch of eighth graders. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that.
Well, and see, there you go. You're simply demonstrating through that story what we've often said here on Issues, Etc. Why we do hymn studies, why we get Dr. Just on. We could talk with Dr. Just about a lot of stuff. I mean, he is a very knowledgeable man. He's one of our listeners' favorite guests. But we like to, as much as we can, reserve him for those hymn studies because it takes quite a guest to do a hymn study. But what do we often say? We say that those hymn writers, they are sometimes the most successful, I put that in air quotes since you can't see it, successful evangelists in all of Christian history. Because the testimony that they give, the witness that they give, the proclamation that they make, it lasts. And it's found in eighth grade classrooms, and it's found in congregations during funerals and home devotions. Think about that. Is there anything else like the great hymnody of the church that gets used that broadly by Christians in so many different places? I don't think so. And some people want to throw all that hymnody out the window and replace it with kind of a knockoff of Loverboy or something. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, Etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, Etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
The latest Issues, Etc. journal contains a confession. It's about my problem with the commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details Pastor Will Wheaton's journey on the Wittenberg Trail. Subscribe to the online Issues, Etc. journal today, issuesetc.org.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed, demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville, 618-656-0500, 656-0500.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I don't know about you, but watching the Summer Olympics stirs my heart. It represents what made America the great nation it is. This worldwide competition showcases how hard work can pay off in gold, silver, or bronze. Procter & Gamble knows behind every great athlete is a mom who encouraged them along the way. P&G is doing a special ad campaign thanking moms for helping to produce the world's best athletes. Please visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to see a very touching example. And to all those moms who've supported your children through thick and thin, regardless of athletic ability, please accept my heartfelt thanks. You said yes to life, and now your children or grown children can look back and see just how much you've molded their lives.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Okay, I don't know if I was being entirely fair. During the break, I actually Wikipedia'd Loverboy. That just came, I don't know why it came out of my head.
They don't have bad music.
You upset one Lord Feichninger when you equated praise.
No.
Praise and worship with Loverboy.
See, now I take it back.
Now, listen,
early Loverboy, 1981 Loverboy, is not a fair comparison. We're talking about Working for the Weekend and Turn Me Loose, okay, and stuff like that. But Heaven in Your Eyes, Top Gun, the music from Top Gun, that is the template for modern praise music. Heaven in Your Eyes, movie, Top Gun. Or what was the other one in Top Gun?
I don't know.
I'm the man who'll fight for your honor. I'll be your hero. Who is that, Craig? Come on, rock and roll. Keishi.
That's Brian Adams, isn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't that one of the themes from Top Gun?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
What was the song that they... No, I'm thinking Officer and a Gentleman. There we go. That's also the modern template there of praise music. Just saying.
Well, here's the deal. You know, Craig was very upset because Craig sometimes listens to Pandora when he's not listening to Lutheran Public Radio.
Yeah, I know, and it's just like one Loverboy song after another, right?
And I guess with Pandora, I've never used it. You can type in your artist, so the genre kind of comes like, and it's Loverboy. Quite often, he will pick Loverboy. So my question for you on early Loverboy versus later Loverboy, is that like early McCartney and later McCartney?
Well,
we witnessed at the opening ceremony
of
the Olympics.
Depends on how far much later McCartney you're talking about. It's nice to see a guy, a 70-year-old man, putting forth the old college try when he's twice as old as the rest of his band put together. But his voice has lost something, hasn't it? I mean, he does sound like an old man singing Beatles songs.
Well,
he sounds like what he is, an old man singing Beatles songs. I didn't have a problem with Paul McCartney doing that. He's Paul McCartney. I had a problem, maybe Jeff, you agree, with the gushing aging baby boomers on NBC who it might as well have been Hollywood Bowl for as far as they were concerned, you know, watching that. They were falling over themselves.
Yeah. What I saw, I recall Matt Lauer speaking with Bob Costas, and Lauer's like, well, the reason he couldn't hit those notes because he was choked up over the never performed in front of a audience like this before. Now, that might be true as far as TV audience, but I'm sure McCartney's, as far as like stadium audiences, has sung in front of groups that large before, if not larger. But yeah, my cynical side when I heard Lauer is like, come on, baby boomers. He's aging. He's dying, just like we all are. Okay, you don't have to make an excuse for him. He can't sink like he did when he was 20-some years old.
Look, the only
just like there's a lot of things we can't do when we're 20 years old. Just deal with it.
The only problem I have with McCartney in that venue there was that he's 70 and he still has the same color hair that he had when he was 21.
You think.
But so does Bob Costas. So
yeah, well, I don't know.
There
you
go.
I got two words for Paul McCartney. Lip sync. Lip sync, my friend. You know, that was painful. I was like, this is going to get better, right? This is just... He wasn't hearing something properly.
Got to believe it's getting better.
Hey, Jude. Man, oh man, that was tough. That was tough. But it's okay, Paul. We're all dying.
Everybody gets old.
We're all dying.
Just like everybody poops, everybody gets old. It just happens.
Well, that's a first. I think that's the first ever that term has been used in the almost 20-year history of Issues, Etc., Pastor Wilkin. Let's hope it doesn't.
It just happens with everybody. You get old. You get gray. Why hide it? Really, why hide it? You get wrinkly. You can't do what you used to do. It's move on. It's the next phase of life. So at least he didn't try and dance.
Wait a minute now. You're hiding it.
What are you talking about?
You shave your head.
No, I don't.
You
I
cut
have
your
hair. Look at this.
Oh,
look at this.
You'll come in some days. That'll be skin. There'll be no more hair. The gray is gone. And
No. I have not shaved my head.
You hop in here like you're 25 years old, Pastor.
I've not shaved my head bald in... Probably, I don't know. I
mean, okay, the number one guard then. The stuff that you can't see. You can feel it, but you can't see it. Your gray is all gone, my friend.
Look at this. Look at this. This is all white up here.
I,
and
look,
on the sides,
look,
too.
I,
now, you ought to be looking at
I
the guy
see that
next
every
door.
Day. I see and that I'm
convinced,
every day.
I'm convinced Jeff's got some Grecian formula 16 or whatever it is going on.
No, but I see that every day.
Because he's my same age, and I haven't seen a single gray. Have you seen a single gray hair?
Sometimes when he'll go back after the show's gone into his
office.
He's
got five kids.
And there'll be a few hairs left on the chair. So there's something going on there. But what I'm saying about you, though, is I see that. And I'm thinking that eventually, that's the way I'm going to go too, because I'm losing a little hair, I'm thinning. I'm not afraid to say it, but I may go the way of the Wilkin and just either all down to the number one guard, so you can't see it, or and all the gray's gone, or nothing.
Okay, for the record, it is the top is a half inch, and the sides are the quarter inch, so. I cut my own hair, so I can tell you exactly what size guard is used on the electric razor.
Beth cuts mine. It's three all the way around.
Three all the way around?
Three all the way around.
Do you have gray hair?
Yeah. Craig, look at my beard.
I see it in your beard.
Yeah,
beard. I see it in your beard, but do you have any gray hair on your head?
No, they don't make Grecian formula for beards yet. No, I'm just teasing. No, I don't know. I'm not – Craig is the hair expert, as we both know. Craig, somebody comes in with good hair, bad hair.
He notices hair. He does.
He's a very hair conscious man.
He walks in and as soon as the person leaves,
look at the mop. Do you see
just give us a little commentary on the hair. It doesn't matter. The Jimmy John's guy, someone walking in off the street. Beware, folks. You might want to make sure you're having a good hair day if you run into Craig, because he pays attention. He plays close attention.
On the subject of the Jimmy John's guy, we have a new delivery man. Your favorite man, Scotty, went to Florida to pursue lucrative business deals or something. We have a new guy.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, big guy. The big guy. Yeah. What's
the big
his
guy?
Name?
I don't know his name. I'm
calling him Scotty, too?
I'm not sensing you have the same bonding relationship that you once had with Scotty.
Well, I don't eat Jimmy John's as much as I used to, and then the last couple times, he's just kind of tossed it in the office here. Because I've been busy. We had visitors. It was the middle of the show, things like that. So I don't think I could pick him out of a lineup. I just seem to remember he's tall, he's a football player kind of a build. I think Craig could tell me, was he bald or not? Did he have hair? What color was
he? He had a hat on, which is what I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Recall that one Scotty, Craig, every
Jimmy
time
John
come
Scotty,
Jimmy
yeah.
John Scotty, would Craig would plead with him, I want one of those JJ hats, I want one of those Jimmy John. By the way, that would be good for my son, Justin Jeffrey. Or Jack Jeffrey, or Joseph Jeffrey.
Any of your sons.
I need one of those hats. So anyway, Craig wants a JJ hat, a Jimmy John's hat, and he just be right, come on, give me one of those hats. Come on. The guy gives him a hat. No, not good enough for one Lord Feichninger. It was a used hat.
It's hanging on my wall right now.
Now Scotty from Jimmy John's did explain to us that they have to pay for like their own stuff. I mean, it's not like free stuff. And Craig still wants one. No.
He wants a Jimmy John's delivery boy who he has already said it privately behind closed doors he wouldn't tip.
That's what I wanted to
he
get.
He wants
at,
this
at
guy to buy him a hat?
Yes, yes, and he was chiding you for giving him a $3 tip. And yet he still has the nerve, the audacity to ask this guy out of his own pocket to give him a new, brand new, spanking new Jimmy John's
Craig,
hat.
Here's what we do. Next time the guy comes over, let's just call him, we're going to call him Moose, because that's how he strikes me. Okay, an affectionate name for the guy. Next time he comes in to deliver the Jimmy John's, you let me know, okay? I will personally pay for the hat so that you can get a brand new hat. I personally think I like the one hanging on the wall, but I'll buy you a Jimmy John's
I'm
hat.
I'm shocked. Thank you. I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay.
When Scotty brought that hat in, if we remember, if we go back to that day, because it's burned in my memory,
hey,
okay?
That disqualification, that disclaimer right there, that's the same thing we heard about the half-calf coffee.
That's right.
If we
that's
remember,
right.
Let's go back to the context.
So what happened?
Go ahead, Lord.
What happened, Craig?
If you remember, he came in with a brand new one. And
he gave you
the old one. The used one, right. And the new one was on his head. And the old one that he came in with the day before to bring your sandwich was the one he was handing me straight out of the washer because it was still wet. It was dripping. Well, not quite dripping wet.
But it was sweat.
No, it wasn't sweat, Jeff. That's a good try, though. But anyway, what'd you call him, Moose? Moose is going to love you because the last time you ordered Jimmy John's, I had to sign for it. And I think I gave a little extra in the tip department, but yeah, he's going to love you next time.
Craig's great at tipping with other people's
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely, and he's going to expect a bump. And thanks to Wilkin,
setting the bar so high.
And people wonder why we have unions.
Yeah.
Look. Shouldn't be tipping the delivery guy, number one. And number two, I'm entitled to one of your hats that you have to pay for, my friend.
That's like going to the steel mill and walking around in the steel mill taking food out of the guy's lunch pails. Come here, let me have some of those carrots. I want that Snickers bar. And then just walking out. And I don't understand it. Here's the reason I tip Craig. I told you the other day. The reason I tip the Jimmy John's guy, why I encourage you to tip generously, because I'm for the working man. That's me. I stand behind the working man 100%. The working man, he needs his tips. He works hard for his money. That's Donna Summers, by the way, not Loverboy. Loverboy's working for the weekend. And I imagine the working man's also working for the weekend, too.
You know what?
What?
GOP presidential candidate can learn a lot from the last 30 seconds of what you just stated here on Issues, Etc. I think we should...
We should see how much both candidates tip. That would probably tell you a lot. Don't you think? I think it would. I think it would tell you whether they really stand behind the working man or not. Like Moose. Picture him with his hat on. He needs those tips. He works hard. He's delivering Jimmy John's sandwich, and it's 104 degrees outside. And he told me the first time he delivered, Craig, you'll like this, no air conditioning in his car. He ain't driving a fancy car like you out there with the air conditioning. He's doing it au naturel in 104 degree heat. He deserves his tip. We'll be right back. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby. Thanks for supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. through the charitable grant program Thrivent Choice. We received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page at issuesetc.org. Please support Issues, Etc. in 2012 with Thrivent Choice.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Lutheran Radio in Exile. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. 10 more minutes in this hour. We'll get Issues, Etc. blog of the week. And then in hour two of the program, Dr. Adam Francisco joins us on this Friday afternoon. We'll talk about the sources and origins of religious writings, including Old New Testament, but also the sacred writings of other world religions. Next week, if they keep their regular schedule, Thrivent's going to send us a little note telling us how much our listeners have given us for the month of July. They usually give that first week of the next month through Thrivent Choice. This is a program that they have put up for Thrivent Financial for Lutheran members to be able to designate charitable dollars to any number of organizations, and Lutheran Public Radio is included. If you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, you can support Issues, etc. with your charitable dollars through Thrivent Choice. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click donate. You'll see the logo, click on that, and then remember, designate those dollars for Lutheran Public Radio. That goes to support Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is produced by Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks to everybody who are Thrivent members and listeners who have supported us so generously in the past, especially during the difficult summer months.
I can't believe I'm going to do this because we just finished an entire segment with mindless banter, but Craig brought it up. Are you enjoying the Olympics?
Am I enjoying?
Yeah, watching them.
It depends on what I'm watching. The NBC's coverage is really spotty. If you're watching swimming, their coverage is great. You get to see the times. You get to see all that stuff as it goes. If they're covering gymnastics, no one's explaining anything. Sometimes they don't even talk for 4 or 5 minutes, and I don't know what any of the scores are. I don't know what any of it's. You have to wait until you watch the medal ceremony to see who actually won. It's very confusing. But I'm getting old, so I'm easily confused by people.
They put the scores at the bottom. Now, I don't know what the perfect score is. They could tell me what the perfect score is.
It would help if they just explain what the score means a little bit.
But I don't understand much of anything about gymnastics, you know?
Nah, neither do I.
If you fall off the little balance beam, that's bad. Well, that's a boo-boo.
I did see on the news last night that Team USA in basketball pretty much sent Nigeria home crying.
Yeah, I think they set all kinds of records. Carmelo Anthony set a scoring record, and I think they set a record for most points. But they're still not as good as Dream Team 1, so let's don't go there. You know, one thing I talked about is how the Schwarz family, it's kind of neat because it's something all of us can watch together.
Yeah, the
once.
Whole family.
Yeah, and, you know, cheer for USA. I mean, we're that relay. Swimming relay that Phelps was in and everybody. I mean, we're just screaming and yelling at the top of our lungs. And I'm even willing to sit through some gymnastics because my girls enjoy, Beth enjoys gymnastics.
My wife and I got into an argument last night. I mean, not a big argument, but 25 years of marriage, you're argued out. There are no big arguments. They all kind of flare up and go away. About ping pong, or they're calling it table tennis. So we're watching
they say don't ever tell a Chinese, call it ping pong to a Chinese.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Table tennis.
Four letter word.
She was saying that the tennis table, ping pong table for the rest of us in the world, in that event was smaller than a normal table. And I said, no, I think it's the angle they're shooting it at. Plus, I think these guys are huge. I think they're like 6'5", because they seem to just cover both ends of the table. It's amazing to watch it. I don't know why it's an Olympic sport, but. She was saying the table. I said, no, it has to be a regulation size table. I even looked it up. I Googled it. I didn't find any answers. It looked small, but I think it was just the angle they were shooting it from.
Yeah.
That's how exciting my evenings are.
I kind of like watching the table tennis a little bit. It's amazing how the reflexes on those men and women. I mean, holy cow. I think the things I enjoy the least are synchronized whatever.
Yeah, you don't like the synchronized
diving. Synchronized swimming. And then what's this one? I haven't seen it yet. What's the one where they have like little streamers and stuff? Like some Lutheran worship services have before they
open
the
service?
It's a
Lutheran worship service. Yeah. I think you were accidentally watching the National Youth Gathering.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen those yet? Or maybe they got some hula hoops or something? Or I haven't seen that yet. Am I wrong? Isn't that an Olympic sport?
It's
coming.
It's an Olympic something. Yeah.
Yeah, Justin was all worried that he's like, oh, China, you know, they're beating us in medals. I said, look, track and field hasn't started. Okay,
started this morning.
Second, yeah, it's when the second week comes up. China, they're toast. I mean, they're not any good in track and field. So don't worry, USA all the way.
We'll see.
It's okay to be patriotic, right? It's not a sin or anything, right? I can cheer on my country.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Okay, speaking of good things, here's what Paul has to say about Issues, etc. He says, absolutely love the program. I'm working out here in Irvine, California, and I can't tell you how refreshing it is to have all the podcasts on hand, especially the Rick Warren sermon reviews. It can be hard sledding out here for confessional Lutheranism, but the gospel consistently dispensed on the show helps me big time. Awesome job.
We're happy to do that. It can be frustrating to do a sermon review of Rick Warren. It can be very frustrating to listen to it, but you know what we're trying to do, and thank you very much, and thanks for listening in California. What we're trying to do is we're trying to attune people's ears to listen for good preaching. And one of the ways you do that is you let them listen to good preaching, but you have to occasionally contrast it with bad preaching. In the case of Rick Warren, something close to abysmal preaching, so that they know the difference, so that they know the bad when they see it. You got to be able, you have to know the genuine article to recognize the counterfeit, but you also have to have some experience with the counterfeit. That's why we do the bad sermon reviews here on Issues, Etc.
Margie, Lake Stevens, Washington. For one listening to Issues, Etc., sitting firmly in the Lutheran choir, nothing to be ashamed of being part of the Lutheran choir, I thank you for your faithful and sound teaching that my own pastor doesn't have time to provide me with on a daily basis. Issues, Etc. helps my pastor to keep me sitting at the feet of Jesus. Also, my pastor does not need to be anxious that I'm getting teaching that is not healthy for me. Issues, Etc. has helped me to listen with discernment to the sermons I hear and to have warning bells over subtle errors. The program has helped me to support my pastor when he is teaching his congregation to move in the direction of faithful practices. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your service to our Lord Jesus, writes Margie in Lake Stevens, Washington.
Thanks for listening in Washington, Margie. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We say, what do we say? Equipping the priesthood of all believers. And that's not a separate thing from people faithfully supporting their faithful pastor. It's a good thing. That's a good end to the enterprise of doing this program and the listeners who spend so much time and devote so much of their time listening to it. A good end is a faithful parishioner supporting a faithful pastor. That's the way it ought to be. All right, now it's time, end of the first hour on Friday, to pick Issues, Etc. blog of the week. It is, for the time being, still blog of the week, maybe blog of the month in the near future. We'll see. Jeff and I have a pick, and we pick them from the many blogs that our listeners write. Now, we have to know where your blog is. That means if you have a blog you'd like us to read and consider for blog of the week, you need to get the Issues, Etc. widget. You can find that at the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, right at the bottom of the page. And then once you have it on your blog, you send us a link to your blog, and we'll start reading, and maybe we'll pick yours for Issues, Etc. blog of the week.
My pick for Issues, Etc. blog of the week is Eschatology by a frequent guest of the program, Pastor Chris Eskett of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And I think we reviewed a sermon of his earlier this week. And it's a quote from another regular guest, Dr. Russell Moore from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The blog post is titled, "Feeding the Appetite Leads to Insatiability." This is a quote from Russell Moore. "The way of Satan, the way of Esau, the way of lost Israel leads to a heightening of the appetite, not to a diminishing. It leads to insatiability. The end result of self-provision isn't satisfaction, but instead revulsion. As novelist Frederick Buechner defines it, lust is the craving for salt of a person who is dying of thirst." My pick for Issues, Etc. blog of the week, Eschatology.
Wow, that's a great quote. And you say he was quoting from Russell Moore?
Russell Moore's book that we interviewed him on, Tempted and Tried.
Amazing. Good. Excellent. Mine comes from a blog. It's called PM Notes. And the entire blog post is, I think it's called something like Crossless Sanctification. Why Old Adam Loves Crossless Sanctification, PM Notes. And it's a longer post. I can't read the whole thing for you. Here's a salient paragraph from this PM Notes, Why the Old Adam Loves Crossless Sanctification. Read the whole thing, by the way, if you get a chance tonight. Here's the quote. "Sanctification, my friends, does not happen by the power of the will of the old Adam operating underneath the banner of the new man. Sanctification cannot be separated from justification, leaving room for the old Adam to think it can contribute to sanctification, for they are distinctly different doctrines, but not separate. Justification does not belong to God, and sanctification does not belong solely to mankind. No, they both belong to God. Furthermore, sanctification happens as we journey through the cross, not around or apart from the cross. Because sanctification is connected to the cross, we confess that death is involved in justification, and death is also involved in sanctification. The old Adam must find death at the cross and should have no part in justification as well as sanctification. That's just a bit of my pick for Issues Etc. blog of the week from PM Notes, Why the Old Adam Loves Crossless Sanctification. You can read it at our website tonight, issuesetc.org, as well as Jeff's pick, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. All right, end of the first hour on this Friday afternoon. When we come back on this August 3rd, Dr. Adam Francisco is going to join us. He's Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, Irvine, California. We're going to talk with him about the sources and origins of religious writings. We'll cover, we're going to cover the Book of Mormon. We're going to cover the Quran. We're going to cover the Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible. We're going to cover the writings of Buddhism and of Hinduism and Confucianism and Taoism. Those go together. And hopefully by the time the hour is out, we'll even get a chance to talk a little bit about a sacred writing. Maybe you don't think about it as a sacred writing of a religion, but the Church of Scientology has one. They call it Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. It's their Bible. We'll find out where it came from and how it stacks up against the real Bible in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.